Vijaya. Namacharya Shadharidas, Tham Guru Vijaya. Vramse Kohu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shivaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Vaktavin Vijaya. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda. Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuradham ki jai, Jindasami ki jai, Yamunai ki jai, Shrimati Lasidev ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Gaur Prithananda Hari. All glorious, the assembled devotees, all glorious, the assembled devotees, all glorious, the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada. So, Om Ganata Vidanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshu and Midika and Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudevena Maha. So, I guess I'll talk about how important Sankirtan is, both the book distribution, the Brihad Mardanga, and the Harinam Sankirtan, by telling a little bit about the story of how I came to Krishna consciousness. So, it's an interesting story. So it illustrates and expresses how important it is to go out there and distribute books and the holy name. So once upon a time, about 200 years ago, once upon a time, I was a university student and studying this, similar things to what Ananda was studying. Science, because I didn't get my PhD like him. He's more advanced. What happened is that I was studying at the university. And I was trying to figure out what life was all about, and I thought science could answer the questions. And so as I was studying so intensely, I heard the first chanting of the holy name that I'd ever heard in my life. And this Harinam party was on the radio. And this Harinam party was led by none other than His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. So I heard Prabhupada chanting the holy name. And as soon as I heard Prabhupada chanting the holy name, it was quite dangerous. I'd lost all interest in my studies. Destroying. Like Prabhupada said, when we distribute books and the holy name, it is like the poison is entered into the bloodstream. Like Prabhupada said, even if there is a book, if someone puts it on, a Krishna conscious book, if someone puts it on their bookshelf, eventually it's like a time bomb. You know what time bomb is? It means you have a bomb with a little timer on it, it'll explode sooner or later, and someone's life will be finished. So, anyway. So that was my experience, and I sort of lost interest, and as they said in those days, drop out, drop in. It's an old hippie expression, you know. So I dropped out of my university studies, much to the disappointment of my parents, who wanted me to be a famous physicist or a doctor or something. Famous or a lawyer at least. And I didn't know what to do with life. I heard the holy names, but I didn't really. Actually, after I heard Prabhupada chanting, I recorded it. And I kept playing it over and over, and I didn't know what it was. It was just like so attractive, but I didn't know what it meant. It was just changed my whole life. Just hearing the holy names chanted purely. So that's really important too. That when you go out in Harinam and chant, you should also be concerned with your spiritual lives too. It's a balance. It's not that you just go out and chant and don't chant japa, don't hear Bhagavatam, don't have good sadhana. Because as Prabhupada said, purity is the force. Purity is the force means you have to be pure to affect a change in someone else's life. Of course, the books are always pure. But it's a question of yourself. You may not be pure, your chanting may not be pure. Depending upon the purity of your chanting, it will change someone's heart or not change someone's heart. So that's extremely important. Okay. And so anyway, so then I lost interest in my studies, so I didn't know what to do. So I started driving a taxi. Oh, interesting. Good to see you. Prasada distribution king. Prasada knowledge. So I started driving a taxi, and just to pass my time and have some money, obviously, because I didn't know what to do. And then one of the other taxi drivers gave me a Krishna book. You know, it's a strange place to do Sankirtan. Anyway, he had gone to a temple associated with the devotees or something like that, and he gave me a Krishna book. And I picked up this Krishna book and started to read. The first thing I read was something that I didn't understand, because I wasn't acquainted with the Krishna conscious philosophy, was that a little blue boy, whatever his name is, was stealing butter and feeding it to some monkeys. Pretty weird story, isn't it? You Hare Krishnas, you're very strange. So he was feeding butter to the monkeys, and so, what's this book about? All right, so I closed the book. Hare Krishna. Well, they didn't say Hare Krishna at that time. I mean, I've heard of LSD trips before. This is a little too much for me. But the problem was that once I'd read that, then the image, the vision of a little blue boy feeding butter to monkeys stuck in my brain. Because that's the potency. What's that? Bhavanti vidkarna rasayana katha tu joshana dasya vapavarga vartmani shudharati vati lukramishti. Lord Kapila Dev explains, satam prasangam, that when the pure devotees give you their association, I'm paraphrasing this verse, it's a verse from the Bhagavatam, third canto. Satam prasangam mama virya sampado. When they talk about Krishna's wonderful, heroic, attractive activities, bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha, that it doesn't just go to your brain, it goes from the ear to the heart. That's the potency of a pure devotee. And any of us who are following strictly and following Prabhupada's directions and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So it goes right to the heart. And even though intellectually you don't even know what's going on in your heart, you just become attracted to Krishna. So I was so attracted, I just kept dreaming at night, thinking at night about a little blue boy stealing butter from his mother and feeding it to the monkeys. And I thought, boy, now I'm really going crazy. Maybe I should see a psychiatrist about this. I didn't. So eventually, I started chanting. It just happened automatically. Just from the little bit of coming in contact with Prabhupada's books, a little bit of hearing Prabhupada on the radio. And I started chanting and following the regulative principles. Actually, I was already following regulative principles. It's already vegetarian. And even though my first experiences with the devotees were not the most pleasant, in those days, devotees were very fanatical. First time I went to a temple, I thought I wanted to read one of Prabhupada's books, so I picked up the Isopanishad, and the devotees told me I wasn't advanced enough to read Prabhupada's books. The opposite of book distribution. You're not qualified to read this book. It's granted for me. So don't do that to people. So they grabbed it from me and they said, you're not qualified. And I thought, oh my God. Who are these people? So after a few experiences in the Hare Krishna temple of being told I was a demon, that unless I got rid of my beautiful long hair, that I was, anyway, going to be as short as a dwarf living underground, eating human flesh. So I had the whole description of Kali Yuga read to me. from the Bhagavatam, and that was going to be me. And Kalki was going to cut my head off. Kalki, of course, for those of you don't know, he's the incarnation at the end of the age of Kali. And so I decided, these Hare Krishnas are too much for me. So I separated myself from the devotees, but kept reading Prabhupada's books, kept chanting, kept following the principles, and it was the books that actually maintained me for that period of time. Then, about 2 years later, I heard that Prabhupada was coming to where I was. Pretty nice. And so, somehow or other, Krishna took over this, my heart and my body at that time. I just thought it was like, well, this is like haunted, you know, by Krishna. I marched to the nearest Hare Krishna temple and said, I want to join. Prabhupada's coming. And he said, well, you got to shave your hair off. Oh. Chant 16 rounds. Okay, that's no problem. Wake up early in the morning. Oh. You know, a few things that I had no trouble with. Waking up early in the morning was a big thing, because I was previously university students, they don't go to sleep until 4 o'clock in the morning. So, anyway, so I surrendered because of Prabhupada. And then a week later, I saw Prabhupada, and that was it. As soon as I saw Prabhupada, I just decided to dedicate myself to preaching. So, to preaching and serving him. And so then, as far as book distribution, another nice story, is that when I joined the movement, I had no intention on going on book distribution. The temple president had every intention. So in order to trick me, the temple president said, you could be the temple treasurer. You know, the person who takes care of the accounts. I thought, good, that's right up my alley. And so he showed me where the treasury department was. It's a little tiny temple. The treasury department was in a closet. And so he said, now you count the money. And it was $5. It was a trick. And $5 in the treasury, and he said, now you have to go and sangirtan. And that was like one day in the Hare Krishna movement. I said, sangirtan? What, me? He said, yes, you have to go out, and you have to dress in a dhoti. And you go out. Now remember, it's a college town. All my friends are there, driving by in their cars. My friends, their girlfriends, everything like that. Here I am with a bald head. And in those days, dhotis looked like, you know, dresses, basically. And so I went out and sangirtan. First time I went on sangirtan, it was like, shit, who's watching? So every time a car came, every time there was a car, I ducked into the nearest store. It's not me, you know. You know, just like I heard this story about the neighbor reporting that mother's daughter had been out there begging. You know, God forbid my parents saw me doing that. So anyway, so basically then I started to approach people, and I felt so much happiness unlike any other happiness I'd ever experienced before in my life. And started this route back to Godheads at that time. And from that point, I developed a taste for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And of course, many times when I was with Prabhupada, Prabhupada emphasized that particular point. When I was in Los Angeles with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had just arrived, the devotees had spent a lot of money in renovating, rebuilding the temple room. And when Prabhupada came, he was in an angry mood. This is an interesting story. When he arrived in Los Angeles. And the main reason he was in an angry mood was because the devotees were 17 books behind him in the publication of his literature. This is before the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam were published. So the devotees were far behind. Prabhupada was really upset. He was coming and angry, ragged, ready to chastise everyone. So the first thing Prabhupada said when he came to the temple, sat on the Vyasa sign at the reception, was that my spiritual master said, if you could sell the marble in the temple to print and distribute books, you should do that. And so everyone was shocked because we had just renovated the temple, spent about $200,000, which at that time is worth now about 1 million euros. You know, the difference, that was 1973 or something like that. So everyone was shocked. And then Prabhupada re-emphasized again and again the importance of publication and distribution of his books. We were taking Prabhupada, myself and other devotees, we're taking Prabhupada around a tour of the BBT facilities in Los Angeles, you know, the BBT facilities for preparing the books for publication. And we were so proud to show Prabhupada all the latest technology that we had. Because at that time, the latest technology was not like now. I mean, a mobile phone has more computing power than probably the biggest computer at that particular time. But anyway, there were some basic computers there, typesetting equipment, and even something called a telex. I don't know if any of you know what a telex is. A telex is, yeah, he knows, he's old. a telex is a typewriter that if you type on, it's connected to another typewriter maybe 5,000 kilometers away, and it types the same thing. It's before there was a fax. Does everyone know what fax is now? Yes. It's before the faxes, before emails. Wait, it's like almost as bad as, you know, the Morse code. Something like that. So there was a telex machine connected between Los Angeles, where I was and probably was, and New York. And devotees wanted to show Prabhupada how wonderful it was. You know, you can type something and then you can see it in New York and then you can type back. So you type, all glories to Prabhupada. And there was no response. And the voice typed in, all glories to Prabhupada, Prabhupada is here. And they responded immediately back, oh, Prabhupada, we accept our obeisances, all glories to your divine lotus feet. And Prabhupada, instead of being impressed with the technology, he said, they're simply going to use it to talk Prajalpa. And you know, that's like the mobile phones nowadays. What is it used for? You know, people think that they're very advanced. Having mobile phones. I'm talking to one devotee here. And she was telling me that all the children she teaches are brain dead now because of the mobile phones. That means even like they're 18 years old, they don't know how much one-on-one is. Probably that's an exaggeration. But So Prabhupada wasn't impressed. And then we showed Prabhupada this typesetting machine. And then Prabhupada said, it's all useless unless you can publish 17 books in 2 months. And he said, it's like, Prabhupada was really upset at that time. Because he had done all this work and we were behind. We weren't distributing so many books. We weren't publishing so many books. And the devotees said to Prabhupada, this is Ramaswar at the time, he said to Prabhupada, you know, if we work real hard, we can publish 2 books. And Prabhupada said, you heard what I said, 17 books in 2 months. And Prabhupada said, and Ramaswar said, that's impossible, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. You know, famous. This is a famous story, of course, but I was there, so I can tell it. And so what the devotees did, talk about a marathon. We basically gave up sleeping for 2 months. Eating we did, you know, because I helped. I provided food for all the devotees. I was bringing them goodies to eat the whole time. And so for 2 months, devotees worked hard and surrendered their false egos for 2 months. After 2 months, they got their false egos back. But for 2 months, everybody was working hard. And it was like going that back to home, back to Godhead. And that's the marathon consciousness. The Prabhupada was very pleased, and we obviously got blessed because of that. And every time I've been involved full-time in book distribution, it's a book distribution or publication, it's like entering into the spiritual world. Very, very powerful activity. Another time, I was in charge of a temple, and we were the number one temple in the world in book distribution. We even beat the Radha Damodar, the famous Radha Damodar party headed up by Tamal Krishnamaharaj. And Prabhupada, and I think I told this story before here, I'm sure I did. When Prabhupada spoke to us, he was overwhelmed. Prabhupada said, his eyes opened wide when Prabhupada heard the results. And Prabhupada said about our number one book distributor, who had distributed 10,000 Gitas in 1 month, wonderful. Do you have anyone like that here? You're praying. And he did it in a very interesting way by going on the buses, handing out a book to everybody. I guess you could do that in South America. I don't know if you can do that here. Maybe. Try it. So he went on the buses and handed out a Gita to everybody on the bus and then made an announcement and went and collected money from everybody. And in this way, he distributed 10,000 Bhagavad Gita, big, hard-bound Bhagavad Gita, not soft-bound Bhagavad Gita. When he heard that, Prabhupada said he has the mercy of Krishna. And so, it was a time, because sometimes you talk about the good old days in the Hare Krishna movement, but it was a time when Prabhupada was really pushing everyone to distribute books. And Prabhupada loved competition. Prabhupada told the devotees he would stay wherever there was the most books distributed. Because that's our whole purpose. Our whole purpose is to bring others to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, to Krishna's lotus feet. And of course, Krishna, as you know, says this in the Gita, that the most dear person to him, and there will never be one more dear than he who teaches this Bhagavad Gita to the devotees, to others. And so that's how you get Krishna's mercy. However, at the same time, don't neglect your sadhana. Because if you neglect your sadhana, then you won't be able to carry out the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and please Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, so I'm very happy to be here. I guess it's a tradition. I come here every year right after the marathon, so I don't have to participate. No, that's not the reason. So I come here every year after the marathon and encourage the devotees, and I can experience the spiritual energy that's been emanating from this center because of the devotees, everyone, because of the devotees' enthusiasm to please the Divine Grace of the Prabhupada, and also because of the mercy of Shishu Panchatattva. Panchatattva, Kalera Doshinade Rajan Asjiko Mahadganat Kirtananeva Krishnasha Mukta Sanga Pranam Brajet. Panchatattva have appeared. Sango Pangasra Parshadam Yagyahi Sankirtana Prayar. Yajanti Hisumedasa to carry out this Sankirtana. So they're just emanating their compassion for everybody here. So, any questions or comments or problems? There's no problem. See, when you go on Sankirtan, you're absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There are no problems. The problems arise when you forget Krishna. When you're not absorbed in preaching or prasadam distribution, too. Because Prabhupada, I have to tell prasadam. So, Prabhupada said, when I was I've done so many things in Krishna consciousness. But anyway, when I... This is also why... Anyway, so when I was teaching Gurukula, Prabhupada said, and we were feeding the ducks on Sunday with old prasadam bread, and Prabhupada said, all those ducks will become human beings, become devotees in the next life. And it was because of those children, actually, I went out on Sankirtan too, completely. I mean, I'm traveling Sankirtan. I was part of the first traveling Sankirtan party in the movement. Because after 3 months, or 4 months, of taking care of children without their parents there, I was a brahmachari, 21 years old, taking care of children 24 hours a day, who had been dropped off by their parents, and trying to, anyway, trying to educate the children. I decided I have to go on Sankirtan. Or I have to be liberated somehow. So I went to the temple president, who happened to be Sasvarup. It was before he took sannyas, Sasvarup Prabhu, at that time. And I said, I want to go on traveling Sankirtan. And so he said yes, and I got my own van, and we traveled all around the country. And the way we did book distributions, we had constant marathons for 6 months without stop. We would distribute Srila Prabhupada's books from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening every day. And we had Bhagavad Gita class, Bhagavatam class, Bhagavad Gita. We took prasadam, sweet balls, and halwa. And it was amazing. When we got back at night, you think, you know, after a whole day of being out there in the street and sometimes getting attacked by people, because we were in America. America is not like friendly Slovenia. In certain parts of America, I'll tell you Sankirtan, so we were like in the south of America, we get pulled into a town and the police come out with guns and say, boy, if you know what's good for you, you'll get out of town real quick. Yes, sir. So then we go to the next town and they had radioed ahead. These strange people are coming to collect money to shoot books. And so, you know, same thing, same treatment there. So it took a lot of determination. And we would distribute books sneaking around sometimes in university dormitories. Like one, these were multi-story dormitories, like 10-story, 11-story. So I would take the first story, another person would take the 11th story, and then we'd just alternate stories so we didn't get caught. And if someone caught us, they asked if there's anyone else there. I said, no. No one else is there, just me. And sometimes someone would catch me and they would ask, do you have permission to be here? And I said, yes, the owner has given me permission. Thinking it was Krishna. Vishvasami dam sarvam yakin cha jarasan munchita tena chitena munchita makrita krishna. So in this way, anyway, so it was so wonderful that at 8 o'clock at night when we finished Sankirtan, when we finished Sankirtan, we just couldn't take rest. And also, we would listen to a tape, because in those days they had tapes. Does everyone know what a tape is? So we listened to a tape of Prabhupada, and it was so clear. You understand? Because, to use an expression from Huxley, our doors of perception, anyone's heard that expression before? Anyway, no. Anyway, that was, he's a philosopher from the 1900s, that he was describing when your doors of perception, what we call the nava dware pure dehi, you know, the 9 gates of the body, the eyes, at least the perceptive senses, the eyes and the ears, when they become open, you can actually perceive reality. So by in being engaged in public service intensely for so many hours a day, when we listened to Prabhupada, it was like a direct transportation to the spiritual world. We could hear clearly every single syllable, all of Prabhupada's ecstatic manifestations. Because when Prabhupada is speaking, if you listen very closely to his recordings, you can actually hear the bhav, or the bhavas, to put it in plural, in Srila Prabhupada's voice. You know, the symptoms of ecstasy. It's very, very clear, but you have to listen very carefully. So we could hear this, and we'd listen to songs about Prabhupada, and we couldn't sleep at night because it was so much ecstasy from being absorbed in Krishna's service and preaching movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you're all very fortunate because this ecstasy is not dependent upon Prabhupada's being physically present. Prabhupada is here. You know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill, says that Vaishnava's dying, now we're living still and sound. So Prabhupada is here, so when you engage in his book distribution, in his Harinam, then you're coming in contact with Prabhupada and you're cleansing your senses. Jeto confirmed. Jeto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Mahat Bhakti Nirvapana. Sarvapati Vinayamuktam. Either Krishna's angry with me or he's confirming something. Anyway, so it's an amazing experience. It's just amazing. So you're all very fortunate to have taken part in this amazing experience, and we request you all to take part year after year, day after day, and why not 365 days? And this year you get an even a greater opportunity because there's one more day in this year. It's what we call leap year. You know what leap year is? They had one more day in February to serve Krishna. Because in the Vaishnava calendar, they add a whole month you can serve Krishna. It's called Purushottama Mas. So you should have a special marathon for Purushottama Mas. Yeah. Okay. I think it's time to end. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vaishnava Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Ki Jai. Cookies.